This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you on this message with a message that was originally written back in November of the year 2008, and it's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 14 and verse number 6. And if you have your Bibles, go to that scripture, St. John 14 and 6, and we will find these words recorded. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now the title for this message is going to sound kind of strange, and the title is just something to grab your attention, but basically as we get into the message you will see why I entitled it the way that I did. The title of this message is Jesus Christ is a bigot and worse. I'll say that again. The subject is Jesus is a bigot and worse. Now, when you hear that title, first thing you're going to say is, hold on there, preacher. Now you have really gone too far. How dare you claim to be a man of God and defile the name of the Lord Jesus like that? Don't you know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the bright morning star, the wheel in the middle of the wheel? The Son of the Living God and Savior of the world. There are many other names that rightfully fit him, but to call him a bigot is, well, it's blasphemy. Now I know what you're thinking, and at first glance, if I were reading this, I would be thinking that anyone making these statements had to be the devil. And guess what? You are absolutely right. You see, the names I listed in the second paragraph are what the Christian world knows him as. No born-again Christian, or should I say Christian in general, seeing that the only way a person can be a Christian is to be born again. Anyone who has their faith in his shed blood and his finished work on Calvary would deny what Jesus means to them. They wouldn't deny, they would say that's exactly what he is. He's all of those things. Yet, it seems that I have just scrapped all that with the title that God gave me to use for this message. However, there is a reason to this apparent madness, and I will attempt to show you what God is saying, or what he said to me, or showing me. When I am saying this, I am putting it into the perspective that not I personally, but the world sees him as. When I say the world, I'm talking about the ungodly. The reason I say this is because to the world, the ungodly, he is not the example of what they consider a savior to be. in their minds, he should be one that is tolerant and accepting of those with opposing points of view. He should be a friend to every male, female, or other, and not criticize or speak against them, their beliefs, or their lifestyles. In other words, they want to define what they will accept from him, or rather what he has to do in order to make himself acceptable to them. The problem then is not so much what Jesus actually is, but rather what the perception of him is by those that do not want to deal with what he really stands for. If you ask any of them what they think about Christ, they would claim he is a friend to all of them. Therefore, if that is the case, then why am I saying they view him as the title presents? It is because while they want to see him as their friend, they don't carry that same point of view when it comes to his children. It is his children that follow his example that they call bigots and worse. Now, what I'm saying here is this. While they they'll accept Jesus and say how much they love Jesus and Jesus is a friend to them, but when a Christian, as I mentioned earlier, a born-again Christian comes up and stands up against what they are doing, they want to call that Christian a bigot. And that's what I'm saying here when it says they want to call his children for his example that they call the bigots and are worse, which basically means, you know, they got a whole lot of names other than bigot that they use describing some Christians that speak negatively about homosexuality, adultery, fornication, abortion, women's rights, and all that other. So, I mean, they got a whole list of names. They call them this. So therefore, they accept Jesus based on their view of him, but yet and still they don't want to accept his children, who, by the way, are the ones that are delivering his message. And consequently, the bottom line is this: if they view his children, talking about Christians, as being bigots and such, then they are labeling him the same way. Why? Because his children are the ones that are preaching his word to them, and they don't want to accept it and calling them a bigot. Well, if Jesus is the one that told them to tell these people what has elicited the response of them calling them a bigot, then that's basically saying that Jesus is a bigot. Do you get it? Like I said, notice the subject scripture. Notice the terms, the way, the truth, the life. These terms, though saying little, actually say a multitude. They say that Jesus and his example of the way all of us should live is set in stone, if you will. It is not subject to negotiation. It is not subject to change. It is what it is, and you either get on board or get off. That is the stance the Christian should be taking in all issues facing this nation and the world. The problem is, these people don't want to accept anything that cannot be changed, because that leaves them in a position of having to change their ways or pay the price. It's nice to be able to feel that any problems that you face in this life are not your fault, but someone else's. No matter what the problem is, if I can blame someone else for my misery and shortcomings, then I have no unction or any reason to change my ways. Too many of us tend to take that view, and it is not only the ungodly, but to no surprise, Christians as well. The Christian is the representative or the ambassador, if you will, of Christ to the ungodly. And if you know anything about an ambassador, you know that they represent their country and its people. If you want to know what a country and its people are like, all you have to do is look at the ambassador they send to you as their representative. Everything they say and everything they do gives you either a positive or negative view of their people. Now, of course, some of these representatives can and do put on a false impression of their motives towards you to get you to go along with them, then later on they turn on and destroy you. In other words, they put up a fake front and try to pretend, you know, that they're all nice and friendly representing people that are nice and friendly to get you suckered in, and then once they get in and you may get friends with them and things like that, then they turn around and destroy you. Kind of reminds me of the case about what happened to Troy with that horse thing that people built a horse and things and had their soldiers hidden inside and put it up to the gate of the city and things like that. It was a walled-in city where nobody could get in. And the people saw this big, magnificent horse and things outside. I don't know how big it was, but anyway, they brought the horse inside the city and put it there. And they went on, stayed around it and admired it for a while, but at night when they went to bed and went to sleep, then all the soldiers inside the horse came out and overran the city and took over the city. That type of thing. But anyway, that's the type of thing that some of these representatives put a fake front on to you, and that's the same thing that happens with a lot of Christians accepting appears to be friendly people that are friendly to their cause, but yet and still These are people that actually have set them up for destruction. But anyway, let's go on a little further. Anyone that does that is essentially acting like the devil. In other words, when you putting on a fake front, that means you acting like the devil. Jesus never put on a fake front. He was straight to the point. He said what he said, meant what he said. He didn't back down anyway. However, there is the other side that the devil likes to use, and that is intimidation. In this arena, he directs those that are under his control to attack Christians who stand squarely on the Word of God as being bigots, homophobes, religious nuts, the religious right, against other religions, intolerant. Intolerant of others with opposing points of view, and a litany of other choices and titles. Through this process, the devil wants these Christians to feel so guilty because they are not showing the love of God by being so rigid on what God says without compromise that they will simply shut up. And many Christians fall for this foolishness hook, line, and sinker. When someone labels you as something, and in order to get out from under that label, you change your actions or beliefs, in their eyes, you become a chump. You become their personal slave because you have elevated them to be having lordship over your life. And with that being the case, and you are representing Christ, then you are making him, talking about Christ, a chump in their eyes as well. Now, while many of you may not see it like this, that is what it is. If you allow someone to define who you are, then you will always be that if you don't change. The question is, which is more important to you? What man thinks about you, or what Christ says about you? If you say Christ, then you will stay the same no matter what others say about you, because Christ never changed his ways to suit those that had problems with him. Another way to get Christians to change their stance on things is to put them in positions where they have to choose between what God says is right or having to suffer. The Bible says, Proverbs 14 and 12 and Proverbs 16 and 25 says this: there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That means there are times when the right thing seems to be what the flesh says is right. When the Bible says thou shalt not steal, and you have no money, and you or your family are starving, then stealing may seem justified, and some would say it's honorable. But the downside of that is you could go to jail, or worse yet, get killed. Do you see the point? The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The Apostle Paul is letting us know, and since he's speaking for Jesus, this is Jesus letting us know, that we should be aware of the things that Satan uses to get us to do what he wants us, what he, Satan, wants us to do. A Christian that is not knowledgeable of these devices will walk into a situation with their eyes wide open, then wonder how they got in the mess they are in the first place. They can be steered into situations that they otherwise would not get into under normal circumstances, meaning if they could see things the way Christ sees them. An example, Christians would not normally support things like abortion or gay rights, gay marriage, or being able to sue someone that speaks negatively about their lifestyle, including preachers and such. However, because of the situation facing this nation today, talking about the economy, with the loss of jobs, home foreclosures, health care issues, and just plain fear of what is happening, many Christians are considering supporting a candidate that offers solutions to those problems. But actually, the problem is the most popular candidate garnering votes also supports abortion and gay rights and gay marriage and the like. What this means is the devil, through creating the proper circumstances, is getting these Christians to overlook the abortion and gay rights oppositions that they have, to support them through proxy by seeking what they figure is the best solution for their economic distress. The problem is, especially with these two issues, they are things he, talking about God, absolutely hates and will not only refuse to compromise on, but will actively send judgment on those that not only participate in these things, but those that support them. What this means is Christians are putting their own well-being at stake, and not only theirs, but their families, including their children as well. And when this happens, they, facing a choice between doing what they think is right according to their circumstances or turning to God, and since they figure that they have been doing right in God's eyes by being prudent according to the worldly standards of what being prudent is, they continue to walk contrary to the path that God wants them to walk. Basically saying, as I've said before, you have always have a choice between doing the right thing and the wrong thing according to what God says. But if Satan can get you to see that the right thing for you to do is to do something to feed your family, and the only way to do that is to steal, you'll go do it. But by the same token, if a politician that supports abortion, gay rights and stuff like that is running for office, and he says he's got the solution to help you get money to feed your family and children and things, so you don't have to worry about stealing, or I know in the case of medical situations for seniors and things like that, prescription drugs and so forth, you hear people talking about sometimes they have to make a choice between paying for medicine or eating. If they want to eat, then they won't be able to pay, you know, get their medicine and something like that. And this politician comes up and tells you, well, you know, if you vote for me, I'll go in there and I'll get the drug prices lowered down so you won't have to face that situation again. But at the same time, this politician, you may or may not know that they support abortion, gay rights, and all this other stuff, but you're thinking along the lines of you need some relief, and this politician is offering the relief, so you go back to them. But what you're doing by proxy, even though you say you're against abortion, I hear that so much from a lot of Christians today, oh, I'm against abortion and gay rights, but yet still you support politicians that are whose basic foundation is built on these things, and they aren't going to change, and a lot of you know that, but yet still they offer you a solution to your problems, so they will be coming out there say, yeah, well, we'll do this and do that, and you say, okay, so you vote them in office. And what happens? You vote them in office, things get worse. Now, going on a little further, I got a little sidetracked there. No one would deny that this nation is in a crisis. But the cause of this crisis is not George W. Bush and his policies. It is rather the fact that there is no spiritual leadership in this nation, because people don't want to acknowledge that their problems are the result of their opposition to God and His direction, something that they can't change, which would then mean that they would have to change. They would rather vent their anger on a person or political party, which they hopefully can change through intimidation and fear and all that other stuff. They then throw their support to someone that promises to fix their problems. Remember how the devil tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden and Christ in the wilderness? He used things that aroused pride and greed. But in the case of Christ, he did that against Eve. But in the case of Christ, especially, he chose to tempt Christ to turn stones into bread because he was hungry. He will always set up circumstances by which Christians will have to choose between following the less desirable path of obedience to God or the wide path that leads to destruction. Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14 says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. That's our problem right there. The easy path is usually the wide path that everybody is following. You know, it's easier to go down the wide path rather than the other path, because, as it says, goes on to say, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You ever heard about people being called narrow-minded? That's almost the same term as being called a bigot, because you're so narrow-minded, you don't want to change. You got everything set in stone, and you following this narrow path. And if a lot of people say, "Man, look at it. You know you got to be wrong. Can 10 million or 100 million or 200 or 300 million people be wrong, and you only got maybe a million people that's choosing to go the other way? Y'all are the ones that are in the minority. Y'all are the wrong. You need to change." No, that's not what God said. The majority is going to bust hell wide open, but it's the narrow-minded folks, the ones that people call bigots and things like that, homophobes and all that other stuff, that's going to make it in. Why? Because irregardless of the circumstances, they're going to stick to what God says is right and wrong, and they aren't going to compromise on it. Case closed. Anyone that chooses to adopt the stance of traveling the path of life is looked at as being anything but a friend to the ungodly. Thus, as I said, the labels of bigot, homophobe, and such. It's always easy to go along with the crowd. There is no resistance. But in the end, it is the crowd that will fall off of the cliff. Earlier, I mentioned the lack of spiritual leadership as being our main problem, and it is, because even though we have a plethora of preachers, most of whom are ordained or with college degrees and divinity thing degrees and titles and all that other stuff, the vast majority of the ones that the people choose to follow are the ones that compromise on what God says. People don't want anyone leading them that is a straight fundamentalist, one who sticks to the fundamentals of the Christian faith. The types of leaders like JJ, AS, and MED, for those that don't know who I'm talking about, for people like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, Michael Eric Dyson, just to name a few, are great leaders, but not spiritual leaders. They are great civil rights and political leaders, and as the Bible says, no man can serve two masters. You can't serve God and man. It has to be one or the other. People are losing their jobs, their houses, and suffering because of our spiritual condition. And until that changes, you can forget seeing any relief on a long-term basis. The only ones that will have relief will be those that put their faith in Christ and His solutions, which start out with repentance, which means the person themselves has to acknowledge that they need to change and then go to God and ask Him to help them to change. Sure, we Christians may have to suffer along with the ungodly in this nation, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ the Lord, we will be insulated from the worst of it in much the same way that the children of Israel were insulated from the plagues that God sent on the Egyptians when he had them in captivity during the days leading up to their release from that captivity. That is what you Christians need to understand. God will shield you from the calamities that are befalling this nation. You can either sink or swim. What's it going to be? This election, and I'm talking about this election that's in 2022 and the one coming up in 2024 sets a more dire precedent now, but this is the same condition. It's gotten a whole lot worse than what it did back in 1998 when I first recorded this, 2008 when I first recorded this message. But anyway, it said this election will be a barometer on whether we choose the devil's direction or God's. It is not about race or the economy. It is about good versus evil, righteousness versus unrighteousness. Both candidates have good ideas, but one represents a group of people that absolutely refuse to follow God's direction if it means that they have to change their ways. So that's another thing you got to realize. God always puts a ram in the bush. You may not like the ram, but at least it's there to give you a choice. And that's one of the things that we need to look at. We always talk about the fact, I hear people talking about all the time, well, you know, nobody's perfect. The Republicans aren't perfect. The Democrats aren't perfect. Right. But when you've got one group of people that's in the gutter, and you got another group of people, though they are not in, they're further up the ladder, headed towards the direction of being where God wants us to be. You gonna tell me you gonna stay in the gutter rather than climbing up the ladder to get up with the group that's going up the ladder towards God, or you wanna stay in the gutter or in the basement, the bottom of the barrel and stuff? Choice is yours. But like I say, that's the reason why I say to the world, if Jesus Christ doesn't conform to what they think he needs to be, then he's a bigot and worse. And they say, well, you know, nobody would call Jesus that. Well, if you calling his children that, that's standing on his word, then you're calling him that. How many times did God tell Moses when the children of Israel were upset with Moses for telling them what God says they need to do? They rebelled against Moses and wanted to stone and kill him and things, and Moses was all upset, and God said, you don't need to worry about that, Moses. He said, they haven't rejected you, they rejected me. God's word and those that deliver God's word are tied into him. And if they are delivering God's word and you reject what you're being told, then you're rejecting God. That puts you on the wrong side of the aisle, my friends. This is Evangelist George McTyre saying thank you for listening to this message. I hope you got something from that. And I pray God bless you and your families real good as you prosper and be in good health, but only according to what God says, the path that you need to follow. Good day.